So we finished up yesterday on Beitam Beis. We finished up with the definition of the word kinah, or what the kinah meant, and the interpretation brought by the Tumlan D'Amrim to Moraim yesterday was that kinah meant kas, right, or discomfort, and explained where that discomfort was. And we continued on the top of Gimel and Aleph. So they believe, it's clear from those two opinions, that this is a negative connotation, and therefore we would, you know, we dissuade someone from doing kinah, or we view unfavorably someone who does kinah. Madam are moved to the kanot, but obviously there's a different side to this picture, right? The other side of the picture is that there is a hazard to be mekaneh. And what does he think? Mahud Hashem kinui. How does he explain the term kinui? Because if kinui is something that you're permitted to do, then why is it, well, how do you explain it in a yin or a fashion that makes it more palatable? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, in kinui Hashem hatra'a. Kinui means it's a warning. So in that sense, that if a person is mutar, is allowed to do kinah, then obviously kinah is just simply a warning to the woman to behave in a certain manner. In Umer, we have this idea that kinah is used in such a manner. It says, "Vayikaneh Hashem le'artzo." It's over there. It's talking about where the locusts, the yelach, the chasil, and the gazam, they came and they were going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. And it says, "Vayikaneh Hashem le'artzo," that Hashem got, you know, basically says, "Back off my land." This is, you know, he's protecting the land of Eretz Yisrael and saying, you know, stay away. So we see here again that the term kinah is used in a framework or in a manner which shows it to be hatra'ah, be a warning, right, or dissuading someone, rather than in a negative connotation of anger or discomfort. So Tanya. When a person does a sin in a quiet, hidden way, Hashem publicizes that what he does. Right, so that when a woman performs or has these issues of the sota, or she's done an avera of a seder, or she had some sort of interaction with an individual with a seder, as it says, barbara love, Hashem brings, it sounds like Hashem brings a barbara love of kinah to the husband, and he's going to be mekaneher. Mekaneher will publicize that which is transpired. Ve'in avera, loshon hachozah. Having no barbar means that he's going to make a call. Shinemar, ve'itzav Moshe ve'iru kol b'machaneh. Right in the building of the Mishkan, when they had enough, it says Moshe commanded them by a view of Kol B'Machaneh. They sent out a message, sent out a note to all the people that you know, they should secede from bringing new things to the Mishkan. But you see, a view of Kol is used in a term to mean announcement. So the year of our love will be that he announces, well, kinah. This makes an announcement about his jealousy, and that is the kinui that he performs here. But he shlakas yamar, in a demo vera vera, in nechans go ruach shud, right? So that a person only is over in a vera when he reaches a point of shud, meaning a person in a state, or his normal state, or in a clear mind would not perform an avera. It's only once he has some sort of ruach shud that has entered him that will take him off the path of doing that which is right. How do we know that? Shemar ish ish kiti stay show. Right, so it says ish ish kiti stay show. A man when his wife kiti stay here means from the words to go astray, right, to go off the path. But if you didn't have any nikudot over here, you could read tishbet, meaning that you wouldn't know it's a sin, you'd say it's a shin, and that would be from the shor shotet. Right, so over here also, ishiki tishbet, so when is it that this woman goes ahead and malo go mal? When she is tishbet, when she's shotet, when she has this ruach shud that has entered her. Tani be Rabbi Shmuel, v'an ma himina Torah, eidecha besota. Why is the Torah ma'amin one aid by sota? You know, we established this yesterday, that when it says the aid at five, the 18 ba, that means that there aren't two aidin, but there is one aid. And that one aid is sufficient to be asked her on her bala, to ask her b'shuma, to lose her psuba. Why is it that there's an aid at five? So this man says, shit, reblind with the bar. Because over here we have, right, strong evidence that there's something wrong prior to this problem of the aid, saying that there was something happened or something transpired. Even before that, they had a kino, we had stira, chari kinela, vinistira. He warned her not to be secluded with this man, and then nevertheless, she goes ahead and secludes herself with this individual. And then one angel comes and says that she is Tmeya. So again, if we, yesterday's thought, the Gemara divided up. The first Sukkim seemed to be talking about a woman who became Tmeya, meaning that nothing to do with Sota. Edekad Neman, when a woman becomes Tmeya, independent of Kinui Sira. Now the Gemara seems to indicate what? That there's Kinui Sira, and maybe Eden Ba means that this Eden is here only in the context of Kinui and Sira. So the Gemara says, oh, how can you do this? And if you look at the psukim there, kinoi comes after. It says in pasuk yud gimel in the psukim of Sota, it says v'shachav yishol ta'ash shif v'zera v'lamei ne'isha, she has a relationship with a man, v'nistira, she's moved to him, v'hi nitme'a, and she was violated, v'yidin ba, and there are no edim here, v'lo nitpasa, and she was not forced. Then, so now what do we have so far? We've had Nisira, Vinibni Tmea. She was included with someone, and then she was Tmea to him. But then, what's the puzzle? Afterwards, Yudalit says, Varvar Lavu Akina, Mikinei Nisho. The warning is only happening after the Nisira Tmea. It doesn't make any sense. How can you say that the whole reason that Kedecha is Neman here is because of the two months found in the, I mean, the Gagwine Ladar that's here? It's Kinoi Sira. Kinoi is only found in the Sukkim after he had Sira and Tmea. Tmea says, no, time to be Rabbi Shmuel. Meaning that it already happened. Meaning Bavar la Ruach Kina is in the past tense, but past tense in the sense that this already transpired. And then you have a Sira and a Tuma, but then the next part says Bavar la Ruach Kina. That's not a forward-looking statement that he will be Mekanet, but rather Bavar la already had been Overa la Ruach Kina. The warning already had transpired prior to the Nistara and Itmea. So the minor challenge is that really the way the word Bavar is used? It says, that's the case. What are you going to do with Bnei Reuben and Bnei Gad? It says by Bnei Reuben and Bnei Gad, when they make the deal with Moshe, they're going to keep Eber Yardane. The Moshe says you must go before the people in order to fight the battle. You must lead the Kibush and Chiluk that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, and then you'll go back to your families. So it says there, Bar Lachem Kol Chalutz. Right, that you will be the pioneers, right? You'll go ahead and all everyone else. You'll be the leaders of the battles going in. But if you say the word Bavar, means they already went, and you're standing on Eber Yardane. How did they already go in and fight those battles? So over there, say the same thing. Someone says, that you will go ahead and conquer the land before Hashem and then return. It's clear that we're talking about the future. So over there, it's clear, it's obvious that we must be talking about the future, and therefore, Bavar Lachem is used in the Bava Kippur. It's used as a future tense. If you believe that Bavar means in the future, what's the point of warning her after she's already been secluded and he's gone? Oh, don't do this. She already did it already. It doesn't make any sense. So it must be over here. The Bavar love is already in the past tense. I mean, they're already transpired. All right. Time to use my mic. Already, it's not to do this right. That is the right line. Right. That's what Tana Rabbi Shmuel is. We're going to have a lot of these Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel now because Rabbi Shmuel is Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel has a lot of emeralds over here. So we just mentioned one. Here comes the next emerald Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel that in a dumb canelli show Elim ki nichnasa bo ruach. And a person only warns his wife if he has a ruach. What this ruach is, the Gemara is about to discuss in a second. What caused him to be Mekane Yisho is this Ruach. Kina, what is this Ruach? That's what it says. My Ruach. What does it mean? That also means some sort of Ruach entered him. So Rabbanan Amrei Ruach Tum'ah. That it's a Ruach Tum'ah that enters him. Rabashim Ruach Te'ara. So what is a Ruach Tum'ah? So Rashi says that a Ruach Tum'ah is a Yedea Satan. From the Satan, about half the O, that crops comes to trip him up, will meet the Disho, and to, poke at his wife, to have him, make his wife uncomfortable or cause her to be angry at him, whatever. These are negative connotations. So ruach tuma is something that's provided by the satan, right, to cause conflict, right, and discomfort between the parties. So that's what it means, ruach tuma. Or is it ruach tehara? Ruach tehara, Rashi says, is sonet apritzut. And this is someone who does not want, right, inappropriate behavior, right, is konet kinah, comes from his inability to stand for this inappropriate behavior, and therefore he's driven to be mekanet show to stop such behavior. That's the ruach tehara. When Mar says, when the stavra command over ruach tehara, makes more sense according to when it says ruach tehara. Why? The time you become a locus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Right? It says the kinei tishto reshut divi Rabbi Shmuel. That's optional. It's up to you if you want to give a kinei tishto or not. Rabbi Kiva mer chova, that it's an obligation. The kinei tishto is an obligation. You must be the kinei tishto. So now, yeah, my Rishma ruach tara. If we're talking about a ruach tara, that he is kareil devar Hashem, and he wants to be a kinei tishto to give it to the pitzut shabir. That makes sense. Yeah, my ruach tuma. But it's a sudden coming to trip him up, or something, a negative connotation of ruach tuma, and reshus v'chovah, the inish ruach tuma v'nafshei. Why are you talking about an obligation or a option to enter into ruach tuma? Ruach tuma is something that's imposed on the individual. It's not the choice of the individual, whether he does it with reshus or he does it with chovah. So therefore, it makes more sense to say we're talking about a ruach tehara here. So therefore, when it says, kind of very small, that in a time of kind of show, it's going to be a ruach, his inability to weather or withstand the tzitzut that is taking place around him, and therefore he's mekanei ishto, he's mekanei his wife. Now the Gemara is going to deal with Ufa, right? This is the a member of the Amorayim, the Tanoim over here. We're going to deal with this idea of reshut and chova. There are going to be three machlokot between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva with regards to statements in the Torah, whether they're reshut or chova. Are they optional or obligatory? So we have these three. The Gemara is going to give us three cases. One of the three cases is our case here in Sota.
So we come to a particular way, accepted that it's
Kufa, you can't show reshut divrei Rabbi Shmuel, so repeat of our, we just said before, Rabbi Kiva Meir, Chova. Now the next case is La Itama. La Itama is found by the Kohanim, right, where they are not allowed to be Metameh the Metim, but they are allowed to be Metameh to the Shiva Provin. And in there it says, La Itama, right, so at the end of the list there, it says that La Itama, he must be Metameh there, reshut divrei Rabbi Shmuel, so it's optional. Rabbi Kiva Meir, Chova, it's obligatory. And when it says obligatory, it's funny. Tosos over here has interesting. His girsa over here is tzva and not chova, but rather it's a mitzvah to do it. And Tosos brings two nafkamina between whether it's a chova or a mitzvah. One nafkamina is whether we force him to become tameh. And do we say to him, you must become tameh to your sister? And if you said, nah, I'd rather not become tameh, I want to remain doing the avodah. Do we allow him to do that? The answer is no, we force him to become tameh. The second is, how say the mitzvah, potter min a mitzvah. Right? If it's a chovah or a mitzvah, Tosos has the girsa, then if he's osik in this mitzvah, he's patur from another mitzvah. Whether it's reshus, it's optional, then there's no mitzvah involved. And if there's no mitzvah involved, then there's no tour of osik mitzvah, mitzvah, patur min a mitzvah. Now the third case is
what's the thing that we force him to come to man, or we force him to marry?
And it's not optional for him to. It's not optional for him to come to make to the seven relatives. He must become to make to the seven relatives.
Because, you know, like you can participate in a layer without necessarily coming to make.
Right.
If there's not, he's not
going to be. Right, we want him, and we're going to have it later on in the Masechta, actually. I think in the Mendalat, that's the Mendalat.
The
Mendalat, that we will come to Baal Korpo, in Lawyer to the Tamot. If he doesn't want to come to me to deal with the mace, he forces him to deal with the mace, and to be the capital of the mace, to come to me. You know, we say to you, this is the time you must become Tamei, and not an option for you to become Tamei. Alright, last one is Lo'an Bahem Tavodu, that you must, right, we had this just recently, right, in the Sefer Yikra, says by the people from Bnei Toshavim that are come from the Arutot that are around you, Bahem Tavodu, you're allowed to, right, you must enslave them. You enslave them, not Achivchem Bnei Yisrael. You can't enslave your brethren, but you can't enslave them. So Rishulot, which is very strong, Rishulot says, optional, right? But if you want to enslave them, you can. If you don't, if you keep on tariff provides an obligation you must enslave them. They cannot live with you unless you do enslave them. Samarle Rabbah Levi, Garmelo Rab Masharsha the Rabbah, Lame Rabbi Shomer Vikibu Kalatara Kula Hafkabligi. Let's just say it seems to be that they have a thematic argument throughout the Torah. Tomorrow Marishus, tomorrow Markova. One of them says it's a Rishus, and one of them says it's a Kova. Meaning that it seems to be that they just argue about everything. So they answer back, I'm like, no, Hafkabakrai. Each of these three instances, my focus revolves around the limit of Sukkim, or how to learn the Sukkim. I just point out here, Tosa has an interesting question. Christos on the Omen has a very interesting question. He goes, well, either Rabbi Kiba or Rabbi Shmuel, what are they going to do with the statement of the Gemara in Makkah that says that there are 613 mitzvot? Right? One of them says it's Rishos, and one says Chovah. So if you think there are 613 without these three, then the Chovah added three more mitzvot. Or if you think there are 613 with these three, then the Rishos of Rabbi Shmuel is going to eliminate three of them. So he goes, how do you get, they can't both have 613 because of this difference between them. So what are they going to do? Tosa goes, well, it'll be that some places where Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a Doraisa, Rabbi Kiba's going to say it's a Kravias, not the Bala. And Tosa's answer, basically, we have different counts of 613. I mean, that's really the answer, is that their counts are different. Not that they don't have 613 or so, but their count will come out differently based on the fact that these three are a differential between them. And as we know, all those that tried to do the Monadic votes came out with different lists and their arguments about some of these issues along the way about these. So you can have differences in the Monadic votes because the Gemara never enumerates what the 613 are. It just gives you the number, the entirety of the number, and you have to get that 613. All right. Now, the Gemara is going to go through each one of these and have a limud. So the first one is the RC, Rabbi Kinei, Tisho, Rishut, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Merkova, my time of the Rabbi Shmuel. What is the position of Rabbi Shmuel? So, Sarva Laki Haikana. He holds at this time, at the time, Rabbi Lezab and Yaakov Omer, Kalei Shavra, Torah, Lo Tisnei, Tachicha, Bilbo, Merkova. So there's a requirement not to hate your friend. Is it a requirement not to hold the words, not to hate your friend? Yoko Kukonsu, I would think in the case by Issa Sota, maybe that mitzvah still applies over here, meaning that you have to give her the benefit of the doubt. You have to leave her and say, okay, this woman's okay. That what that gives him permission to even violate even in the face of that mitzvah, we still say to you here, you can be kinei tisho. It's your optional to do, it's your option or your decision to do such. Rabbi Kiva Omer, kinui achminikativ. The pasuk says kinui twice. Because if you look at the pasuk in Dalit says, barbar la ruach kina, vikinei tisho. Vikinei tisho once. Oh, barbar la ruach kina, vikinei tisho twice. Nihilo nikna. So in the case, there are two possibilities. He's mekani his wife if she was tamei, is mekani his wife if she is not tamei. The pasuk is simply written, barbar la ruach kina, vikinei tisho, vikinei tisho, oh, vikilo nikna. Then after repeat, the kinei tisho twice, the fact that it repeats kinei tisho twice tells me one is for Rishus. And the second, whenever we have a general principle in the Torah, whenever Garbala, right, when the Torah repeats something, right, it is to make it into a chovah. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says over here. Akiva says, no, that kinei achminativ, it says it twice. Rabbi Shmuel, I think by the mitzvah, behi nitzma'a, behi lo nitzma'a, since the Torah has to write two possibilities. One is that she's not tamei, one the other possibility is that she is tamei'a. He's not being kinei tishto. He writes, they repeated the whole thing, they repeated the whole phrase. Instead of just repeating or saying that there's two options of behi nitzma'a, behi lo nitzma'a, but it repeated it, it repeated the whole thing. Why does it do that? That's the principle, again, the time that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shmuel, who we've seen, or is already our third time seeing him on this, on the time of the Meir, Rabbi Shmuel, that the time of Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shnei Rabbi Nishnit, Rabbi Nishnit, and Rabbi Shmuel, the version of Chadesh Bah, that when you have a repetition of a Parsha in the Torah, a repetition of words, right, then they don't necessarily have meaning in the sense that we can be noticing anything from them if there's something new in that Parsha, in that the repetition in and of itself is not a reason to darshan. So over here, what the Torah says, so you would think it could have just said, oh, he loaded ma. But the principle of Rabbi Yishmael says, well, because now it had to say, he loaded ma, and the pasuk comes and repeats, oh, that's not something that is worthy of a drasha. That's just repeating because it needs to get to the other phrase of he loaded ma. And therefore, there's no significance in the Torah repeating. As opposed to Rabbi Yishmael believes that the significance of it repeating, is that it brings it into a kula. So that's their argument by the din of sota. Now we go to the din of the Kohanim, laitama. So it says in the question there more, laitama, reshut, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, my time with the Rabbi Shmuel. Again, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Ishmael? I didn't think it's deep because it says in the beginning of the parsha that more, Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe, and more, Lachonim, Be'aron, Rabbi Matalem, let the fish low eat, tama, be'alav, but that you're not allowed to come to men. So that's a general statement which says a Kohen may not become to men. So then the, after that it says, what? So you need a separate pasuk to tell you light what you may become to me to these individuals. So because of the first pasuk, the introductory pasuk to the parsha says, do not become to me, then you need a pasuk that commands you and says or gives you permission to become to me, and that is la yitama. So the Gemara says, alright, so then what is Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva Michi in the Shairo, not the law. Here it is, learned that out of the term Michi Shairo, Yitma. Because if you look at the psukim, it says, what? You may not become to men tamei. That's a general statement. Ki im means these are the exceptions. Right, except for ki im l'sheiro akaro vega. So you already know that this next list of items is going to be the accepted people, which are the seven krovim. So now what do you have light to at the end of those lists for? Why do you repeat it? So again, Rabbi Kiva's according to his position that when you repeat a command, first one is to give her permission, should, like Rabbi Yerushalayim says, and the second light to is like chuvah, an obligation you must become to make to these seven relatives, and not simply that it is a reshut. Light to ma, lamalei the chuvah. So now the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with light to ma? Right? Because he has also kim shiva the karayla. So Rabbi Shmuel uses that term to lead and teach you that la mitama, you can come to me to her in her entirety. You can't become to me to her part. And then there's if a part of her body falls off, right, or somehow she loses the ibarim during her lifetime, he's not allowed to come to me to that. She only becomes to me to her entirety. So what it says, Rabbi Kiva said, needs that limit also of light, the mabi that for entirety and not just the ibarim. Here it says, in Kilim Tobrahman Allah. Vilishto, say la and say nothing else. Itama lali. So why didn't say itma? You didn't have to write. You didn't have to write both terms. You have two terms here in the pasuk. It says, right, for her, you become tamei. Because la is means her entirety. What does it mean? Itama. Itama is the second aspect of chovah, the obligation. So he learns two things from it. Rabbi Shmuel says, I didn't say la. Kinami itma. It makes more sense. If you say la, you're ready. La itama makes a phrase that would make more sense than just simply saying law. So the fact that it says itama is not significant, it's just tachuta lashon, as we would say. It's clearer language or an easier way to say it. Right? Because the tani of Rabbi Shmuel, the tani of Rabbi Shmuel, the barsh shem rabbi nishnei, the nishnei, the lishnei, the lishnei, the lishnei, the right? So the new term here is law, to teach you that only for the being in its entirety are you itame, but not for partial being. So the word itama that's repeated here, kiyama seirok, rabbi love, that itama is not significant, because that's just because it needed to repeat, learn the term law, it repeat, used the term itama without significance. Right now, third case here, is which is the parsha in Bahar. I'll read you the parsha, so you can hear the psukim. It says, V'lehem v'hem tabodu, v'shut to Rabbi Shmuel, v'kivom ha'chuvah. My time is Rabbi Shmuel. What's the position of Rabbi Shmuel? So I'll read you the psukim here. It says that you are not allowed to, when your brother, right, so you're not allowed to treat him inappropriately. You can't treat him poorly. It says, "Boter do boter flora." You cannot work on him hard or overly hard. But you're raising another kafah. You have to fear Hashem. Then it says, "Ba'atcha v'amatcha sheyu levaklach." You have servants that meita goyim asher sivul tekzem from the nations that are around you. Mehem tiknu eved v'amah. From them you're allowed to buy eved v'amah. V'gam b'nei atoshavim akarim amachem. And for the toshavim that live among you, mehem tiknu. From them you can buy. Um yimishpachtam and their families asher imachem asher lidu v'artzachem that are born in your land. V'yulachem l'akuzah and they'll be property equivalent to property to you as an akuzah. V'yulachem otam l'bneichem achareichem. The rest of the akuzah. Then you will then inherit them, pass them on to your children after you. You must always work with them.
Really, is that?
No, because there's a, it's actually in the truck, there's a, it's a fifth katan there, which would make a stop.
It's a truck.
Yeah, but here it is, it's a fifth katan, which says the rest of the olam, bahem tavodu. So the olam is modifying bahem tavodu, right? Not the, the rest of the
stop. Because the truck is also
right, but it's a fifth katan, it's a strong stop. So in katan, you make a makam rest of the olam, you customize the olam, the olam, bahem tavodu, you work with them. Which will be the closing statement again, what we began with, do not treat Jews in this manner. Alright, so I read you this because the Gemara is actually going to darshan all these psukim now. So now here we'll go through them. My time with the Rosh Hashanah, why is the Rosh Hashanah believe it's a Rosh Hashanah? The Ktiv, lo techaye kol nishama. We have a command in the Dorim that you're not allowed to leave any of the people of the seven nations living. That you must eliminate everybody of the seven nations. Israel, time with the Ktiv, lo lem lahem tavoku. That you're allowed to work them, the mystery. So if you wipe out all the Bayim that are found there in Israel, who is it exactly that you are bringing to work for you? I mean, it's okay when the Pasuk says, mi ha-goyim tzvi lo techet, the nations that surround. That's fine. What? Those that live among you. Who's living among you that's still alive? You just eliminated everybody that's there. So that's where it says, Mishra Echad Mikomot Shabbat Nanit, Olim Yimen Ben, Shatara Shadli Kinoto. That has to do with a mixed marriage, intermarriage. Right? If you have an intermarriage between a person from outside of Canaan being the Sheba Umot, but seven Umot that you're required to exterminate or eliminate when you conquer the land, right? If there's someone from outside of those seven nations that comes and marries a Canaanite, a woman from Canaan, Olim Yimen Ben, that you are Shatara Shadli Kinoto. You hear me? You're allowed to leave alive. And use as an edit. Why? The Tanya, behind that, I mean, if you have a right, one of the surrounding nations that takes a or intermarries with a Kananid, will be men and Ben, and has a child with him, Shatara Shadi Knoto Bebet. How do you know that you can use that person as an edit? And he's not covered by the requirement of Lotit Chayei Kol Neshama. Tama Lomar, Yam Mibnei HaToshavim HaTarim Imahem. Even from the Toshavim that live among you. Who is it that lives among you? That's the woman who has a child, right? A woman who has a foreign husband that has a child in Canaan. She has the child, assumption is the child where she's from in the Canaan. And therefore, Yam Mibnei HaToshavim HaTarim Imahem. So you would think, well, Yafalak Nani Shabbala Katmin Umot. If intermarriage is a way to clear up the situation, maybe if it's intermarriage the other way around, in that you have a Canaanite, one of the seven Umot who marries a woman from outside of Eretz Israel, a Katmin Umot, will leave him then. If a man is born a child, so Tarash Shadda Kanot Bebe, maybe you think that child also is permitted to be used as an Ebbe Kamal Omar. Asher Lidu Be Artsachem, that were born in your land. You know, the Ladim Be Artsachem, below Min Hagarim Be Artsachem, right? It's the ones that are born in your land, but not the ones that come to live in your land. I mean, the assumption is that the baby is born where the mother is from. Right? So if the mother is from Canaan, right, then for the baby will be born in Canaan. That's what we name it. So Shabim Gimethem, to know Mishpachatam, Shimethem, Shehobzidu, Barakzachem. Those that are born in your land, you're allowed to take. But those that are just Garimim, right, those that are just living there and not born in the land, that's not sufficient because they were born abroad, that's a foreign woman. Right? So what do we see here? The easy answer is that yichus for a guy comes through the father. Right? That it's fraternal, right? What?
What about
Zerma? Susi, right. Then we have, in general, there's no yichus with regards to, in elevation or assignment of elevation, but in terms of what's their status or nation, national status, we go by the father. So that's what the Tosfos over here says, Mishra Echadmi Komomot, you look at Tosfos here, he says, Mehofa Nachalun, the Umot, Halech Akar Azakar, or the Yen Yuxin, the Glass of Zakar, meaning that this is the source. This is the source for everywhere in the Torah, or everywhere we know in Gemara, that if you want to know who the child, what's the definition of the child, or how the child is defined by the father. And as we know from our Gemara over here. So far we have Rabbi Shmuel who's teaching us about these two items. Then,
a foreign nationality that's not on the ship of Moses.
You could, but here is it. But what happens? Here we're talking about those that are among you. It says, "Become very much those that live among you." There are two psukim. One pasuk says, "One pasuk says from the lands around you." That's one category. Then the big puzzle is another category. The government answers to me, but they're even like that. The people who live with you, you're allowed to take the levy. Who are those people that live with you? You're supposed to pay it for the Shema. Who lives with you? So that's the case. The case of the person who lives with you is from a foreign born father that marries a Kananese and has a baby in front. So Rekiva Mehemtik knew, right now, well, he already learned that out from the pasuk of Mehemtik knew. What goes up against Lotzi Chayin in Kol Neshama? It says that from them you may buy them, and Mehemtik knew. So he doesn't need the pasuk of La'olam Bahem Tavodu in order to permit you Neged Lotzi Chayin Kol Neshama, because he already lives that out from the Mehemtik knew. So since he already has that permission, La'olam Bahem Tavodu normally, so now we have two pasukim saying that you can enslave them. So the second pasuk must be coming to teach you what? Chobah. And that's why Rabbi Akiva believes that it's a chobah to enslave them. Rabbi Shmuel Bahem, he learned that, no, he uses the puzzle of Bahem to teach you them and not your brethren, meaning that you're allowed to enslave them and not your Jewish brethren. So where it says, Rabbi Akiva, he says, I don't need Mayhem Bahem to teach you that. I already know that from the Pasuk. It explicitly says it. It says, Bahem Bnei Yisrael, right, that Bahem Bnei Yisrael, Yishmachim, look at their book of heart. It already has an exclusion for Bnei Yisrael. What do you have to have that exclusion for Mayhem? So the Gemara says, well, so we're Bishmal, I did a table by Pekem, did not mean Bahem. So confusing, again, this is a Bishmal concept that because it already it says Mayhem Tiknu, and then when it needs to repeat, Achim Nisai Shmukim Lo Tzibar Bufara, it's because it says, well, love Bahem Tavodu. Since it says Bahem, then it already brings the second line, which is Achim Nisai Shmukim Lo Tzibar Bufara. It gives you the deal, it writes out the deal. The Tanya Rabbi Shmal, Tanya Rabbi Shmal, Kofar Shnei Rabbi Nishit, Oni Shit, Elam Shul, Damar Shnei Tchadosh Bal. So there's a new din in this parsha, even though it's repeating this concept that you may not enslave Jews, nevertheless, that repetition is not significant because of the general principle of Rabbi Shmuel, that repetition is only the darshan of Kaddish Baum and not of something of significance. All right, I'm Rabbi Chizda. So this is a new member of the MRI. It's interesting, the MRI here intersperses like a Gadata with halakha issues here. The MRI just jumps to halakha. I'm going to say again, it's going to jump back after this to the Limutim of Sovda, an interesting shibu of a Gadata and halakha. Is the Znuta Bebeita Kikariya Lishum Shema. So he says that when there's Znus in the house, that is the equivalent of a Kikariya Lishum Shema. So what's a Kikariya right to the Shum Shema? Kariya is a worm, right, that goes into Talashel Shumshimin. It's the worm that gets into the Shumshimin as soon as the sesame or into the seed there, then it eats it up. So too, Znus eats up the house, destroys the house. However, this is the Tukfa Bebeta, house. Anger in the house, and Kariya the Shumshim is the same thing. Eats away at the foundation of the house, right, consumes the house. Both of these are true when it's the wife or the woman that's doing this. Abagabra this one, but with the man, that's not true. So Rashi says, why is that? Why is it only by the woman that this is true and not the man? Because the woman is the akeret habayit. And the house depends on the woman, basically, to hold it together. And since she's the akeret habayit, if she's otherwise disposed, meaning that if you look at Rashi, he gets to talk, so Isha Mesana, with Hasanit. Isha Isha Mesana, this is new now. She's involved in now. Anal Semalacha. She gives away her husband's stuff to those that are right, and that she's having illicit relations with. So therefore, she's going to cause right havoc or leave havoc in the house. So the destruction of the house happens when the akeret habayit is missing. The one who normally is the one who is the amud habayit is no longer involved in the house because she's otherwise distracted either by her znus or by the kash, which makes it impossible. Makes the house an untenable situation because of her kash in the house. So Amar Rav Chisda Mitchila told him Shchatu Yisrael Hashchina Shorayim Kol Echam Echad. Before Bnei Yisrael called to the Arayot, the Shchina was Shorayim with each individual. Shneimer Ki Hashem Elokecha Mitalit Kikarav Machanecha. Hashem goes through your whole Machanecha. Came in Shchatu Nistalka Shchina Mem. Once they are called to the Arayot, they lose the Shchina. Shneimer Loyer Befire Bat Davar Mishav Me'acharecha. We shouldn't see. Hashem says, I shouldn't see with you guys any air Bat Davar, which will cause me to repel or recoil up backwards, meaning that Hashem's Shekhinah will leave if there's any air Bat Davar. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachumeni, Amar Yotam, Aos Kosa Mitzvah Akat, Olam Azeh, any person does a mitzvah in this one, Mikadmato, Olam Lechanav, Olam Abba, goes in and announces him, which goes to Olam Abba and announces in front of him, right, that here he comes with this mitzvah, Shemar, right, Olam Lechanav, Tzidkecha, right, that your there in Yeshayahu, it's talking about a person who has done that which is right, takes care of the aniyim, and brings in the talmidim, and frees the slaves, all this. And then it says, that these, your righteousness will walk before you. And that's the idea, that it will come before you, you have those things which you do right. Anyone who is over one of the rabbis, it enwraps him or encapsulates him, right? It goes before him to the Yom HaDin. Shenemar, right? Yulafto, or Kot Darakam, Yalu B'Tov V'Yovedu. Right? Their ways will enwrap them or encapsulate them. Yalu B'Tov, they will go up in this what's for not, meaning the Aveirot, V'Yovedu, and they'll be lost. Meaning that what causes a person to be Yoved, that is the Aveirot. And what are those Aveirot? Those Aveirot enwrap them or are always with them to their ways. Meaning that wherever they go, the Aveirot will accompany them. Alright? That Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shurabo Kekelet, stuck to him like a dog. Shenemar, Lo Shamai, Tam Eshkav Etzla, Leyoti Ma, right by Yosef, it says by when Ishi Potiphar comes chasing after him, said he didn't listen to her, Eshkav Etzla, to sleep with her, Leyoti Ma, to be with her. Eshkav Etzla, Olam HaZeh, right, that's to sleep with her in Israel, Leyoti Ma, Olam HaZeh, because they would be with her, Olam HaZeh, meaning that this Aveira, he would perpetrate this Aveira. Not only would it accompany him in this world, it would accompany him, she would suck to him like a dog in the world to come, and that it would affect his Olam HaZeh. Right now, back to Sota, back to the Russians of Sota. Tanaka, we have a Mishnah over there. Shehaya b'din, that it should have been a Kalvachomer. But Idut Rishona Shino Sota Yisru Olam, when it comes to the first Idut, right, that does not restrict him forever. But it comes to Stira, right? By Stira, you require to aid him, or either by Kino, you require to aid him, right? Then, but in that case, nothing happens because of the kinoi or the stira are not right. The thing that created Easter Olam, right? The name Papa Mikhaimim Vajram, the Aegis are not. The Aegis that comes afterwards, which is the Aegis about Tumha, right? So it's Easter Olam that will restrict her forever from her husband. In addition to the Aegis of Mishnah, surely she requires waiting. Talomar, the Aegis, but, right? That's what we learn in the puzzle, that Aegis, but means there aren't two Aegis, but there is one Aegis. So the Xeris of puzzle is that one is sufficient over here. Even though in Kavah Homer, you need two for Kino or Sira, or for Kino and Sira, right? Then why shouldn't you need two for Tuma? That's the Xeris of puzzle. Koshieshva. The Kavah Homer, Vinimba. Koshieshva. As long as there's one Aegis, that's it. Everyone says, well,
why should the
Kabbalah
be in place
instead of reclining the Dhamma? Do without the Kabbalah, we rejected that. The Gemara rejected that of reclining the Dhamma. That's what the Gemara rejects over here. The Kabbalah doesn't mean that the Bible does not require one, but require two. Right? So that is, right, the Gemara says you would, that you would learn. If you didn't have this limit of eight meaning two Aedim, what would you have thought? You would have heard the word eight means that eight is not one Aedim, not believe, two Aedim or believe. And why do you need a Kabbalah to tell you two Aedim or believe? Because you have reclining the Dhamma. You have reclining the Dhamma, you would think that you only require one eight here. So much alone, then you would need two eight. So except for the fact that we have this limit of eight at that teaches that eight in call it to a book means two, and when it says eight in but here it's not. Then kind of Rabbi Shmuel in the beginning of today's doc said, why is it that you only need one over here? They try to give a spark to Luke Sith because that's exactly the spark. Because there is a climb the dubber, we only require one eight over here. But that doesn't detract from the fact that it's a puzzle. Without the puzzle, he would not have known that. The puzzle would have learned without the limit that eight means two, you would have learned that eight echad means one's not believed, two are believed. Okay, now the Gemara says, well, once you've established that Tumah requires one eight, do the Kalachoma the other way. The Kalachoma, the Eidim Bishona. Right? So it should be for the Eidim Bishona, meaning that if you already need to aid him for one eight, the Tumah, then it's going to be by Kinoi or Stira, right? You only need one eight by Kinoi or Stira, Miata. My Eidim Dakwana Shotari, Sotari, Sorolam, it came in by that, but that required by that, but Eidim Dakwana Shotari, Sotari, Sorolam, you know, Tension Time, but it only require one eight. Tamalomar, Kimatsabad, Erbatabar. If he found with her a Erbatabar. So anything that has to deal with called the marsh of the erba, right, requires, right, to aidin. Right, it says, Alhalanomir, Pishne, Dimos, Pishlus, I give you a kum tabar. So you have the bar that teaches that anything in a rayot requires to aidin. Madabar, Alhalan, Pishnai, Aidin. Abkan, Pishnai, Aidin. So I said, why do you need this limud? I didn't see much of our Erbat Tabar and Abkan. We already had this limud already when we have Makobas of the legend of Rabbi Yeshua explaining their positions in the Mishnah, why you only required two seeing him in that way. It says, Ba, Velo, Bikinoi. Ba, Velo, Bid, Sira. Ba was an exclusion. The 8-8 Ba is only in Tuma that we require 1-8, but by any other part of Sota, Kinoi, and Sira, we require a 2-8. So why do you need a special lean mode of that Kimacha Barra Tabar? So my says, no, me right, like, how can I become a Kamalomer Ba? Ba, Velo, Bikinoi, Ba, Velo, Bid, Sira. Now, so that is for Kinoi and Sira. But, Tuma, Ba, Alma, Velo, Kinoi, Velo, Sira, Velo, Nehemene, Echad, Mi, Nolan. How do I know that when you have Tuma, Ba, Alma, general, without Kinoi and Sira, that not 1-8 is not believed? Never can, Kima, Tabar, Tabar. Never, La, Alana, Pish, Nehemene, Mo, Pish, Tosha, Adivia, Pum, Tabar. Ma, Tabar, Mo, La, Alana, Evening, Shayim, Abkan, Evening, Shayim. So that's exactly what you said in the MC, right? When do we say 8 Echad is sufficient? When we have Raglai, Ma, Tabar. There is Kinoi and Stira involved. Then we say Edekai is sufficient for Tuma. But how do I know the Tuma of Alma? In general, that without Kinoi and Stira, when there is no Rakhlai and Dabar, where do I say that I require that Edekai, right? The Loma and Edekai, that is not enough. That's because I learned it out from Yerba Dabar. That's under the regular category of Arayot. And this brings us our Gemara back to full circle now. And right? Gemara at one point earlier, yesterday's Da, right, seems to indicate that Then we have Tana Be'er Rabbi Shmuel today that gave the reasoning that says, what, when is Eichad Ne'eman? Why is Eichad Ne'eman by Sota? Because of Raglai Ne'eman. And this is the final part that we will see here from the Gemara over here, that there are actually two types of Eichad Tuma. There's an Eichad Tuma that comes after Kino Yisira, which will be sufficient with Eichad. There's an Eichad Tuma that has nothing to do with Kino Yisira. There we require two Eichad because they are Erbat Dabar. And Erbat Dabar has a requirement of two Eichad to close out Sota Kula. Okay, we'll stop here. The next week it continues to discuss.